Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. This is National Teacher Appreciation Week, but it is clear after the May Day rally for respect in Raleigh, thousands of North Carolina educators do not feel appreciated by the state legislature. They want more resources for their classrooms, more counselors, and more social workers, and an increase in per-pupil spending. News and Views producer Clayton Henkel spoke to three veteran teachers who attended the NCAE's Day of Action: Lisa Statz of Beaufort County, Justice Mansour of Chatham County, and Dale Cryon of Alamance County. And we'll hear from them now.
Lisa Statz, I am in Greenville, but I teach in Beaufort County in Washington.
And you told me something amazing a moment ago. You have been teaching a very long time. You don't get a lot of days off.
This is my 22nd year teaching, and this is my first personal day.
I've got to ask, what inspired you to not only take the day off, but to pay for your own substitute to be here in a school district that did not close?
Right. My district did not close. I just think that it's important that we provide a united front, that we stand together, and that we want things to change.
Well, tell me a little bit more about change and the change that you do want to see.
I want to see teachers valued as professionals. I don't think we're being valued as professionals. We're almost as glorified babysitters. We need more funding. Our copy budget is pitiful. Our textbook budget is even more pitiful. And the value of education by the state cutting master's pay shows that they don't value education in the schools at all.
Is it troubling that you have to have this large demonstration in order to get them to pay attention?
To force their hands, absolutely. And what people don't seem to realize, and it's the general population doesn't understand, when they pass these laws and say, or bills and say, or budgets and say that there's a 6% raise, it's an average. I haven't gotten more than a 2% raise in about 10 years. And the teachers with 0 to 10 years get these huge raises, which skew the averages, and that's where when Mark comes out and says, Mark Johnson, that is, comes out and says the average teacher salary is some bizarre amount, it's higher than that maximum. And people don't see that either.
There's a big concern that early teachers are leaving the classrooms in record number. They're going into the private sector, but at the same time, we're not really working hard to keep veteran teachers in the classroom.
Absolutely. Veteran teachers are starting to feel like redheaded stepchildren, that we're just not valued. We're taken for granted, that we're going to stick around because we're closer to the end of our careers, so they don't have to do as much for us, and they do need to keep the younger teachers. And I understand that, but you can't run a school without veteran teachers.
Now, you're a math teacher.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to let you give me a math lesson here. What would be a fair equation in the budget for North Carolina educators?
To bring us back up to the national average, because we're well behind that, we are in the lower end of the scales, and it's ridiculous. When we have the secondary education system in North Carolina that we do, those kids have to come from someplace, and if you're not willing to fund the educators to prepare the kids better for secondary education, then you're just pulling in outside students, and that's not right. We need to allow teachers to have the salary so that they can have the supplies they need to better prepare the kids. My high school kids are not ready for high school because they don't have the funding, K-8, to get the resources and the manipulatives to understand the concepts and the skills. So there's holes.
Can we talk a little bit about textbooks? Because you mentioned that a moment ago. Some people might think, well, nothing's changed in math. What do you need a new textbook for? But I'll let you talk about that, because I do hear that from educators, that they are using textbooks that are really old.
Well, at least they have textbooks. This is my first year of high school. I taught middle school for 21 years. First year of high school, we have no textbooks. Everything is copies, and our copy budget has been slaughtered. I only get 5,000 copies a year for the number of students I have, and no textbooks. So it's a lot of digging, it's a lot of, you know, searching outside sources, it's a lot of teacher maids and things like that. I mean, if we had textbooks, it would also allow the kids to have resources at home and parents that want to be involved to have the guidance, because they may not have seen the math in a long time. So that gives them a tool to use as well.
If you don't have a textbook and you've got a copy budget of 5,000 pages a year, that means you really have to plan, and you're not giving handouts, and you may not, your student may not be going home with as much information as they would 10 years ago.
Absolutely, and it's really hard for your EC kids that take a longer time to get the notes copied or whatever, and then we provide them copies, which then, of course, they need them, but it's tapping into our copy budgets. We've done a lot of 2-to-1 copies, which makes things really, really small. So if you have visually impaired students, that is a disservice to them too, and so it's a catch-22.
What about the rest of the school? I know that one of the other points for the teachers who are out here today is that non-certified staff, custodians, secretaries, the other people who are behind the scenes, that they are also compensated fairly.
Oh, absolutely. If it wasn't for the custodians and the bus drivers, we couldn't do our job. I mean, they've got to get the kids there and the schools have got to be clean. Cafeteria workers have to make sure they have the nutrition to do the schoolwork and have the fuel to continue through the day. So they're just as essential to the running of a school as a teacher is.
Okay, so I'm going to give you one last chance here to make your case and tell us what you would like to see the legislators do.
Put the value back in education. Put your money where your mouth is. They say they value education, but they haven't proven it. And I'd like them to see that the funding come back so that we can prepare these students to be effective in the global community and in the 21st century.
Justice Mansour at Northwood High School in Chatham County. I'm also a parent, and I'm really concerned that we are losing highly qualified teachers. I can go to another state and I can make more money. Our hours, our class sizes, like all of these things that are really important. I was in a master's program in 2013, and I got a call that they canceled the program because that's when the legislators took that funding away for master's pay. I'm pretty confident that they understand now that that was a really bad idea, and they are going to reinstate master's pay this round, I hope. And then I can finally finish the program. I'd like to continue and get my master's. I don't think that we're keeping really good teachers. At Northwood, we do the best we can, but it's harder and harder to keep those highly qualified teachers. We have a lot of math teachers who do the math and they move on into administration or county office or another field because it just doesn't add up. If my husband didn't support me, there's no way I could be doing this job. The amount of hours I put in, I can't take a second job. And I know a lot of other teachers take two and three jobs. I don't know how they do it. Like, that's gotta just be so overwhelming. And I know they're doing the best they can, but I don't think they could possibly give the students the support that they need if they're putting in two, three jobs to make that happen.
Tell me a little bit about the sign you're carrying. It's kind of got a sobering message, but I'll let you read that and tell me why you wanted that point lifted up at this rally.
So it says, seek input on legislation that affects kids' education. I think the legislators, some of them really do want to do the right thing, but they don't ask questions from the people that it's going to influence and affect. And I looked up a lot of the legislation that's on the agenda for this upcoming session. They're doing some good things, and I think there's a lot of people who have put out legislation about calendar flexibility specifically. A lot of school districts like us, we have community colleges that are a huge part of our high school curriculum, and we team up with them, and we don't have the flexibility to align our calendars with their calendars, and that's really frustrating. The health report came out, and we already know students have mental disorders, they have suicide, they have depression, and we are not addressing those things. I am not qualified to address those things. I'm speaking with my counselors and saying, like, hey, what do you need? I talked to the counselor yesterday about the legislation and what she thought. They're talking about raising money for psychologists, but the psychologists oftentimes do the testing. And what we really need is social workers and counselors so that we can reduce those numbers. The recommendation from the Counseling Association is less than 250 students for one counselor caseload. We are double that. And I think that's the case for most of North Carolina. These kids need help, and I go to the counselor, and they don't have time to help them because there's just too much going on. So I think the kids really need that sort of legislation, support and pay. And I think that really this rally is about teachers, but it's also about the kids getting all of those support systems that they need.
Dale Cryan, and I am a seventh grade teacher in Western Middle School, Alamance County.
You've got a sign here that indicates that you've got some concerns about your classroom. Tell me what your concerns are.
We have zero textbooks to teach our students with. I have one class set that's over 20 years old that we use for all classes. There is not enough technology in the school to go around. I know that's been the big push. There's holes in the wall, peeling paint. It's not a pleasant place to come into as much as the teachers try to make it so with the infrastructure going on.
I think there might be a lot of people that are surprised by what you initially said, because it used to be you'd have, you know, a math class, you'd have a math textbook, you'd have a social studies class, you'd have a social studies textbook. But you're saying that you don't have 30 students and 30 textbooks. You have many students and one textbook.
So I teach language arts and social studies. In language arts, I have 56 students and 31 textbooks that were from the year 2000. Social studies, I have my 56 students and I have zero textbook. Everything I do, I create, I find, I put together, I give to them. There is no textbook to use for social studies at all.
How much more difficult does that make for students to learn and absorb what the lessons are and get what you're trying to get across in a very short amount of time?
Yeah, it's impossible, actually. The students are having to create their own textbook as we go, trying to get students organized and able to put those sheets that we give them in a three-ring binder and keep up with them as the created textbook is nearly impossible. So it's just a matter of always trying to stay one step ahead, trying to get the stuff that we need for them without really there being anywhere for them to go back to review later.
It's really amazing because one of the concerns that we hear often is, are our students college ready? And you've got to think, is it really fair to measure them on that if they're getting a piecemeal education or a piecemeal textbook for each class as they go along?
Yeah, it's definitely a very different experience for them, I think, once they get into college, to have a textbook, to have something that they can write in, that they can look back at, review for. And yeah, I think we are doing a great disservice not having textbooks, not having the actual physical things for the students to look at in the classroom.
Dale, one of the other concerns was the infrastructure itself, the walls, the paint that was peeling in your classroom. Talk a little bit about that. I know that the legislature, they're weighing two different options this year. One's a big bond proposal. The other would be sort of a pay-as-you-go proposal is what the Senate had said. So you wouldn't necessarily see that money all at once. It might not be your school year or your classroom's year to get painted. Do you have an idea of what you think is needed?
Honestly, either way, just as long as we get it, it's pretty much where it is. Whatever they're willing to do, whatever they're willing to give, we need it. And so I can't really advocate one way or the other, just that we need it. So whatever possible way we can get it is what needs to happen.
There's been a lot of focus about this being all about teachers' pay. And of course, the House is hustling to get their budget out to show that there is a little more pay for teachers that's coming. But it sounds like there are a lot more concerns just as I look around the quad here and see all of these signs and all of these red shirts.
Yes. So for me, it's really not about my pay. It's about the number of students I have in the classroom, being able to reach them, being able to give to them the education they deserve, being able to help them with their mental and social emotional issues that are going on in their lives, making sure they're fed, making sure that we're giving the children the nurturing start that they need. I am much more interested in the funding for that than in funding for increased pay for myself.
And Dale, you've got another sticker on your shirt that's a big ticket item, which is expanding Medicaid. There may be some people that hear this and they can't quite make the connection between what's happening in the classroom and a big healthcare policy issue. Why is it so important to you that we expand Medicaid in North Carolina?
So if students don't come to school healthy, fed, ready to learn, they're not going to be in the main mindset to learn. And so we need to make sure that where we reach them at home, healthy, making sure that they're able to come to school prepared and able to get there and get to what they need.
What would you tell your legislators? What do you really want them to hear before they wrap up the budget proposal and go home for the year?
That our students deserve better than what they're getting right now, that we need to stand up, that we need to make sure that we're funding the support staff, the classroom sizes are lowered, that we have the textbooks, that we have the support we need to make sure that our schools are the best they can be.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.